Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge. Welcome back to Voice of the Cape Drive Time. In 2016, South African film audiences were mesmerized by the film Nume Skoli, which was written by and based on the life of John W. Fredericks. In this book, Fredericks tells the full story on which the film was based, and he spoke earlier today to Ibrahim Kangwa Chibwe.
Today, we review one of the latest publications from Penguin Books, a book called Skoli, by John Fredericks. Like always on Drive Time, one lucky winner will walk away with a copy of My Skoli. Now, in 2016, South African film audiences were mesmerized by the film Nolo My Skoli, which was written and based on the life of John W. Fredericks. In this book, Fredericks tells the full story on which the film was based. Growing up in a dusty township on Cape Flats, Fredericks formed a gang with his friends, and at the age of 17, he was arrested for robbery and sentenced to 2 years in Posmo prison. There, the Namba gang vowed to initiate him into their ranks, but he resisted their advances, offering instead to help them push their time by telling stories. And so became the prison cinema, drawing on his storytelling abilities and cementing his ambition to become a writer. John, good afternoon and welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
John, can you just briefly tell us how it all began? Because this book is quite intriguing, and when I started reading it, I was a little bit scared, but eventually I came to the grips of it. Can you just go through some of the interesting parts in the beginning?
You know, I had no intention of writing the book in the first place. 2 weeks after the movie was released, I was contacted by Penguin to come and see them. So I chatted with this guy, and he was so excited. I got scared because his eye was big in his head, like, and I thought to myself, is this story so exciting, because this guy was really excited. So I signed a contract with him, and I had to write the book in six months, but I wrote the book in 4 months with one finger and one eye, and that's why I actually going to the surgeon today to check out that eye.
Okay, John, from the beginning, when I went through this book, I could understand that you were mostly a very lucky boy when growing up. Uncertainty brought to you into the kind of life that you began to lead at a very young age. But somehow you appear to be very positive in your life. Can you just tell us briefly on how it began?
I grew up in a rubbish dump, and that's where I used to scavenge for books to read and editing of resale value. So I was born in the apartheid years, so apartheid was normal. We were poor, but that was normal too, because everybody else was poor. But reading opened my mind to a lot of other things. You know, while reading, you can travel to other countries in your mind, stuff like that, and you can picture that. You can paint images what's happening in other countries. And then I realized that apartheid is not normal. And being poor was not normal at all. And that's when I started to unravel, you know. I was always a good storyteller on the street corners at night. But when my life took a wrong turning, I ended up in prison. And then that's when my storytelling really took off.
Yes.
Because then I had to tell stories to save my butt, put it that way.
So that began the journey of the birth of a rebel, as you describe yourself in the early life of your childhood.
Come again?
Was that the beginning of a rebel, the birth of a rebel?
That's right. That was the beginning of... When I was released, I wrote a lot of stories, but nobody took me seriously. You know, because it's about who are you, who you are. But I persevered, and I wrote a lot of short stories. And in 1984, my first story was published. It was called Hulle Noem My Skoli. They Call Me Gangster. And after that, I believed that I was a writer, and I wrote a lot. But the road was very long, you know?
Yeah.
And when I made my first documentary, I went to Italy, And the guy there told me that I am not telling the story. He told me, John, you are not telling the story.
Mm.
You must tell the story. And in 2000, I started to write the script.
Yeah.
And it took me 40 years to get the script into development. And a lot of obstacles. But I persevered because that's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to tell stories I wanted to write. And I was driven by power beyond my control. You know?
Yeah.
And I worked in prisons. In various prisons across the Western Cape. Places of safety and in the townships. Doing creative writing as a facilitator. And a lot of things came out of that. A lot of outcomes, like a book, prison stories, documentaries, stage plays, drama, and I did a lot of things, radio plays also. And, yeah, but my calling is actually to work with youth actors to inspire and motivate our youth of today, because our children are dying for nothing. And people are screaming, bring back the death penalty. And then they go home and hide behind closed doors and shuttered windows. And you do nothing. So I decided to give up my day job when I was 50 years old. To go work with youth in prison. Yeah, it was hard times. But I sacrificed. But I knew that I am making a difference. And until today, I've got a lot of appointments to work at schools, to work with gangs. I'm actually ambassador for a gang in Paul, who change their life around after Numa's calling. Some of them are working in and around Drakkar in prison. Some of them went back to school. And, yeah, some of them are in work, writing workshops, they're doing drama. And their book is coming out in December.
Yeah. And John, when I was going through this book, you know, there are certain things that I was as I went on reading this book, just beginning from your early age as a child until up to the time that you became eventually, you know, a grown-up adult and a father with well-established children. But there are certain things that I was picking up along the line from your childhood when it comes to crime. You know, it appears like you were in a gang, so to speak, but certain things were not happening according to how your friends wanted it to happen. You were always like I could call it a lucky person. You were not involved in most of the things that was happening.
You know, I was always different, or I think I was different, because I like reading, and my friends wasn't interested in the reading. They were interested in school. You know, so that's why I could tell the best stories. I could write the best compositions in school and stuff like that. But the place where I grew up, there were no heroes or idols. Were old street fighters who settled their scores in this bloody battle that draws. And many of us aspire to be like that, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, most of us, rose above that, but for others, it became the rite of passage, and it ended on the gallows, you know?
Yes.
And I felt betrayed, that I was pulled into a case that I didn't know nothing about, and that was not the idea, you know?
Yeah. And also, John, I mean, looking at your family history, with your wife, I could pick up that you met your wife at a very young age, and she has stuck with you up to this time around. And that fascinated me, because you were, you know, somebody who was non-gangster, and yet your wife saw something in you, which is now giving fruit in this current time where we are now.
Yes, I'm married to the same woman for 50 years, the same woman in the story. I mean, somebody else portrayed her. But I made a vow that I am going to watch over my children. And I'm proud to say that they have been excelled. Like, many people don't know, you know, they labeled me a schoolie. But I have one thing in mind. My children are going to have education. And they are flying high. And that's why I'm proud of them, you know.
Yeah.
Because I was involved in criminal activities. I was not, getting them get involved. And my war cry is, don't touch my family. If you touch my family, I will fine you. And I will fix you. You know? But I must tell you, my children never knew my past.
Yeah.
And when the film was released, I dreaded the moment when they're going to see who their father really was. But you know, after the screening, when I came here, they were all waiting for me. And my grandsons. And my one grandson, Jesse, asked me, Pa, why did you tell us about this? But how could I tell them?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell them. Because I was very protective, and I would do anything to protect my children. So, as in the book, you know, and that is what everybody must do. Today, it seems like all is lost, as our children are dying for nothing. But today, I want to speak to the young parents of today, to watch over their children, to embrace their children, to look into their eyes, to show interest in their children, because it's all in the eyes. If something went wrong, if something is bothering your child, if you look into their eyes every day, you will notice something is not right. And still children are being abused today, boys and girls, and you wonder why it is happening. But wondering, it's not the thing. The thing is that the parents must take care of the children. They must keep them close to their hearts and know that they will follow the straight and narrow. That is my message.
You know, John, when I was going through this book, I mean, it gave me an understanding of how, you know, gangsterism has evolved in the South African context, because we are talking about something that began centuries of years. I mean, you found gangsterism when you were born, so which means these ideas began very long time. Now, looking at what is happening now, currently, where do you think the cure is when it comes to, you know, getting rid of gangsterism as you portray it in this book?
Man, did it... There's a lot of screw-ups, a lot of people talking and saying nothing. You know, I was working as a security officer at Ottery School of Industries.
Yeah.
Now, the kids there, they were taught skills, carpentry, welding, mechanics, tailoring, you know, all that kind of things. So, my question is, why did they close these schools of industries? Because I know a big businessman who was at that school, who learned the trade there, who learned the skill there, who's running their own businesses. So if they say the children mustn't go to prison, there's a lot of children in prison. But why don't they close that places, like places like that, where they can learn skills? You know, everybody can't do IT in prison. Everybody wants to be an IT person, you know? I was asked to do to run a workshop and teach the guys to build paper castles. And I said, no ways. Because the youth that I work with in prisons, if they come out and they are hungry, they are not going to build paper castles. Because a hungry stomach knows no laws. You're going to find a way to eat. So that was my biggest problem, because I witnessed, I could see the children earning their skills and doing something about it and becoming businessmen. But now there's nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So that for me, it's a big problem. Children should be taught skills, real skills. They can work with their hands. So when they come out, they can do a lot of other things instead of just hanging around, begging. You know, give them something to work with, something real that they can earn money with, things like that.
If you are just joining us, you are live on Drive Time, and we are reviewing a book by John W. Fredericks called Scully, And this book is based on the film My Scully, which was written and also based on the life of John W. Fredericks. Now, John, I want to take you back to the incidents which happened to your family where your son was actually brutally murdered in Durban. Did this give you a reflection of your own life, what you did in the past? Did you think you were paying for his death?
No, I don't think that at all, because my son spent 4 months before he died. He spent here because he stayed in Durban. He came home to dance with his father again. 2 months after he left, he was ambushed by somebody that he gave a job to. He got this guy a job in the butchery at Fruit and Veg there in Durban. So my son was a tough cookie. You couldn't put him down, one person. So there was more than one person. And I actually know who the guy is because I drove with that guy. You know? But yeah. That guy, he pleaded like self-defense. But, you know, we had to trace that guy. We had to track that guy because the detectives couldn't find him. My son-in-law stayed in Durban because my other daughter also stayed there. He found it and he told the cops where he was. They took his phone. They locked him up at his house. The guy sold the phone there where he worked. They got the phone. They got the witness. And they still say, how can the self-defense is there and that guy has got no marks on him? Self-defense is when you get hurt and you defend yourself. But the guy had no marks on him. But the thing is, that guy committed another murder. The same way that he killed my son, he murdered somebody else, the same way. So they're looking for him. So what does it say? That guy's a serial killer. And why can't they track him? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So yeah, but the guy... Justice must take its course. You know, it's not time for revenge. I'm too old for that. And I had plans. But yeah, I decided no more bloodshed.
Okay, John, before we let you go, I know at the end of the program, you ask our listeners one of your favorite questions from the book, which you think you can ask. And then a lucky winner will go away with a copy of My Scully. But before we conclude, John, what are the lessons do you think this book is impacting on the lives of the so many gangsters that are in Cape Town? And also, how have you been received by the gangsters who are still reading and watching your My Scully movie?
And the youngsters are flocking to me. They run after me. They want to change. You know, this is a story of hope, that you don't have to belong to a gang. You don't have to fight. We can battle with words. And you will see even gangsters. If I walk amongst them, they give me respect because they know. Because I give them respect too. Because these people got names. So I speak to them as normal human beings. And they listen to my story. And I listen to their stories. And you will find when you listen to somebody's story, you will find that they're a real person. And that you actually don't have to fear this person, because fear is the key. Sometimes you find you fear somebody, and that somebody actually fears you more. I know that from life experience, you know. But yeah, you don't have to fight. You don't have to belong to gang. You know, there was a saying that if you don't belong to a gang, you are nothing. That's a myth. That is not true. You don't have to belong to a gang. That's the message.
So, John, now I'll give you the opportunity to pose a question to our listeners and see who is going to win your book, My Scully. What question are you posing to our listeners?
Look. You know, I don't understand the question, but I've got 5 books here in front of me.
Yeah.
I'm going to an eye surgeon, and this eye surgeon is all stop is buying a book each. As my bookseller is, I'm a hustler, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I sell it on the boot of my car beside the bookshops. Yeah. people need to read the book, you know, to understand more about life on the Cape Flats, to understand more about why youth join gangs. Because sometimes it's a better place there on the street corner. You find a family there. But then you find out they've got feet of clay. They're not heroes. They've got feet of clay because they would betray you at the drop of a hat. So it'd rather be, I decided to be my own hero. Now, if you want to be a hero, you've got to do good deeds. So now you start with one good deed, and you'll find you do 50 good deeds, and you don't even know it because it becomes a habit.
Okay, John, and I will ask the question on your behalf. I'll pose the question to our listeners, and one of them will win this book. So the question is, what story or what film was shot behind this story? What film was shot behind this story? So that is the question to our listeners. John, I thank you very much for joining us and giving us this opportunity to speak to you.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you very much, John.
Bye-bye.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.